Well, hey, my name's Stan. If you don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here, and I am back. Woo! Man, last week was one of the hardest weeks of my life because I got COVID, and I didn't really get that sick hardly at all. Deanna got really sick and stuff. And on Wednesdays, when I found out I had it, and Wednesday, my first thought was, oh, I've got to record a message then from home so that, you know, and everything. And then I thought about it. It's like, oh, wait a minute. I've got a team. So I talked to Pastor Enike on Thursday morning, and we talked it through. And that's why he was here last week. And thank you so much for stepping in. So if you appreciated what he did last week, what he said last week, he did that from Thursday. And I just really appreciate the team that we have, but I also appreciate being able to be back. Getting COVID was not my plan. Not being here last week was not my plan. But over the course of the last 2 years, you know what I've discovered and had to figure out? My plans don't mean too much, right? Anybody else with me? Yeah? We've had to adjust some plans the last couple years, haven't we? Right? In fact, tell the person sitting next to you or type it in the chat, what's one plan that you didn't get to see through over the last couple of years? Maybe the biggest one you can think of. The list is too long, I know. Choose one. You know, it's the first Sunday of February, and I'm glad for that. I'm excited that life gets back to normal. I don't love silly season. But you know what the first Sunday of February is? You know what it means? For me, it means that this is 4 years that I've been your lead pastor, the first Sunday of February. Yep, you don't have to do that. But and by the way, for those of you that aren't clapping, I'm not going anywhere, right? You're stuck with me. But it also means that it's a time that we take to look briefly at where we're going as a church. And on the heels of what we've all been through together over the last couple of years, I thought it would be great for us to have a bit of a reminder of who we are as a church and get to catch a little bit of a glimpse of where we might be going. So this is kind of a back to the basics talk, but you may be surprised how practical this ends up for you in the end. So hang with me. If you get bored in the first few minutes, hang with me. I promise it will get better. For some, this is going to be a reminder. It's a bit of a revision, and we learn by revision, right? So don't check out because you've already heard some of this before. For the others, a lot of new people have come in the last couple of years, and this is going to help you understand why you want to be a part of this place. Why you can't not be a part of what God's doing here in this local faith community. I'm excited about it, and I hope by the end you will be too. By the way, in case you're wondering, why is he wearing just a t-shirt and jeans today? Well, it's because this is dress up. When you wear the Multiply Hope t-shirt, that's dressed up. It's as good as a tie, okay? So all of you that wanted me to wear a tie, picture me as wearing a tie today. So when you look around, Pastor Justin already alluded to, after the service today, you can go get your picture taken by one of a couple of statements that we bang on about here all the time. And we are excited about those statements. I want to unpack those for you just for a couple of minutes to remind you of what we're here for. This statement, there we go. Striving to be a loving community, seeking, serving, and sharing Jesus. That is our mission. And that statement didn't just come up overnight, and we didn't just grab it out of there and say, oh, that sounds nice. And of course, it's alliterated, right? We're striving, we're seeking, serving, sharing. You got to love that, don't you? It didn't just happen, though. This came from Scripture. Many places through the pages of Scripture direct this statement. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Matthew chapter 28 says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, this statement, striving to be a loving community, seeking, serving, sharing Jesus, hangs on the great commandment to love God and love others, and the Great Commission. That's where that statement comes from. It says we're striving to be. For those that haven't been around here very long, you may not realize yet, but we haven't arrived. That's what the striving to be part is, and I love that. In fact, we put that on there just for me, I think, because I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to fully be that loving community, seeking, serving, sharing Jesus, but I'm striving to be. And we collectively are striving to be. So if your experience so far with our church, if we failed you in doing this, the loving community and all of that, we're striving, okay? We're trying. So hang with us. Help us actually get there. It says striving to be a loving community. That means we're going to show love within our church and within our community. John chapter 13 says that they will know you're my disciples. They will know that you are my followers by the love that you have for one another. So we want to make sure that we're being that loving community. And then we're seeking Jesus. We seek him through prayer, through study of the Bible, through obediently following his leading in our lives. And then serving, we believe that everybody has gifts, that everybody is unique, that everybody is made to serve. So we want everyone to engage in serving Jesus through whatever gifts and abilities and resources God has given you. And then finally, sharing Jesus, and that should wake you up every morning with a burden on your heart to say, there are people who don't know Jesus, I need to share Jesus. That's sharing our faith. That's letting other people know about our own faith journey and how we got to where we are so that we love Jesus so much, and we want them to experience that as well. So that's our mission. And you know, that just to unpack that in just a couple of minutes for you very intentionally, because any church you go to, I reckon their mission is the same. They may say it different. They may have different words, helping people far from Christ become devoted followers of Jesus, things like that. But every church should really be on about that, the things that I just described to you. So the other statement that we bang on about here, and it, again, we print T-shirts with it on it, is this: hope multiplied. And you may see those words, and if they're not explained to you, you think, what does that even mean? Friends, that is all about reproduction. In fact, I wanted our vision to be reproduction several years ago, and a few wise people around me said, not so sure that's actually a good way to say that. But yeah, you can just extrapolate that for yourself. But we should always be reproducing. We multiply hope. We're reproducing. We multiply hope by sharing our faith. That's evangelism. We reproduce ourselves by sharing our faith, telling people about Christ. We reproduce ourselves by helping others grow in their faith, building into people's lives, discipling other people. We reproduce by expanding beyond right here in Werribee, beyond this campus. And that vision is other campuses and other church plants in our community and further out. That's part of our vision of multiplying hope, right? We reproduce by sending missionaries around the world to multiply hope. That's why every missionary that leaves gets a T-shirt that says multiply hope, to remind them wherever they're going, wherever we're sending them, they are there to multiply hope. So this year, our focus around all of this, our strategy is in being that loving community, multiplying hope, is the experience, engagement, equipping, empowering, and expanding. This year, we're focusing on three things actually: engagement and equipping. We figure after the last couple of years, engagement needs some work. We need to help people engage or re-engage. There's a lot of new people to our community of faith. We want to help you engage. By engage, we measure engagement by four different things. You are connected, you are serving, you are giving, and you are so excited about what's going on here and what God is doing here that you're inviting other people to be along too. That's engagement. And then when we talk about equipping, we're talking about you growing in your faith, being grounded in the Word so that you can face life's difficulties and challenges and get through, that you can thrive in the midst of those. So we've made investments near the end of last year for those two areas, but we also made another investment. And this is where I'm going to spend the rest of the time today. We believe that youth and children have tremendous value. We believe that families have tremendous value. And we are going all in on families. And like I said, that's what I'm going to talk to you the rest of our time today about is families at WBC. There should have magically been a slide. There we go. We got families there. And in case you're thinking this message isn't for you, because we're talking about families and you don't have a family, you're wrong, okay? You could not be more wrong. You've all been kids, right? Some of you have kids. Some of you have grandkids. That's way more fun than having kids. Amen, grandparents? Yeah, because we can give them back. Yeah, and then you see all the mistakes you made because you watch your kids make the same mistakes you made and on and on and on anyway. But some of you will not have kids, but we need your help because raising kids is so easy, right? Said no parent ever. I talk to parents all the time who think, I've done such a horrible job with my kids and they're only 6 months old. I've ruined their life. Don't be so hard on yourself, people. Young families, young parents, you're getting it wrong, okay? You are getting it wrong sometimes. But you know, Mary and Joseph, remember Mary and Joseph? At Christmas time, we would have talked about them. The earthly mother of Jesus and the father figure in Jesus' life, Mary's husband. We know he was come from the Holy Spirit. But you know what they did? When he was just a young lad, they went away to the temple and they were there for a few days. And then in their community of faith, they left and they traveled. 3 days out, they looked around and said, where's Jesus? They lost their kid for 3 days. If they were here, DHHS would be taking that kid off them, right? And if you think, well, that's Mary and Joseph, and they're not perfect either. Well, my beautiful, wonderful wife and your pastor, Deanna, one time many, many years ago, she was doing a Bible study with some ladies, and she was using a book, some material that was written by a woman who had a kid that was a bit of a rat bag and had done some bad stuff. And this one lady in the Bible study said, well, I don't want to do this study because I could never read a book by a person whose kid did those things. And I'm like, well, what do you do with that? Well, my quick-thinking wife came back to her right away and said, well, you know, God was the perfect parent. He put his kids in the perfect place in the Garden of Eden. And look what they did. They brought sin into the world for all of us. Right? So if you're being really hard on yourself as a parent, give yourself a bit of a break. It's not always your fault. Yes, you're messing up your kids. We all mess up our kids, but it's not always your fault. I remember taking our first kid home from the hospital, and we should not, by any stretch of the imagination, been allowed to do that. When I look at pictures from back then, when I saw my kids start having kids and taking kids home from the hospital, I thought, no way. That is ridiculous. They're going to mess it up. You know, so by God's grace, we actually raised 4 kids and they got grown and they got married and they're reproducing. They're multiplying hope, right? Oh, and now we have some grandkids and they're doing all right. But it's by God's grace. We learned some things along the way, most of it by experience and the hard way, some by others. And some of the stuff I've learned that I'm going to share with you this morning, I learned when my kids were almost completely grown. So if you're a young parent, you're just starting out, this is valuable stuff. If you're an older parent, and you still have some hope, so don't give up yet. But I reckon that when a baby is brought home from the hospital, and some of you have seen this before, maybe a couple of years ago, I use this as an illustration. But I reckon that all kids or families should be given a suitcase for their kid when they come home from the hospital. Why is that? Because one day they're going to grow up and they're going to leave home. And for those of you that hasn't happened yet and you're starting to wonder, are they ever going to leave? It probably will. okay? And when they're grown, they're going to take some things with them. They're going to take some baggage that you have helped to create. And we want to be intentional about what we put in those bags. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says this, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to put in their bags. We want to direct them on the right path so they take with them the things that will help them not leave that path as they grow up. Because from the moment they're born, you are equipping them for life. You're packing their bags, you're giving them tools, and the goal is that they grow up, they leave, and they become productive members of society, right? And if you're a Christian, then your hope is also that they end up making the decision to follow Jesus, right? Right? No? Oh, okay, okay. I hope that's your desire. And by the way, just a little bit of a side note. I talk to people regularly, and they say, oh, well, we don't want to push this on our kids or anything. We want them to make their own decision as they grow up. And that's right. You need to let them make their own decisions because God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. But can I encourage you that if you're wanting them to make their own decision, equip them to make the decision, right? Don't make it hard, and don't follow Jesus in a way that's going to make them think, oh, no, I don't want any part of that. Not good. That would not be a great outcome if because of the way you follow Jesus, they decide, I don't want any part of following Jesus. That's probably another message series for another time. It's a daunting task when we think about raising kids, that from the moment they're born, the clock starts ticking. And for those that are interested, from the time your child is born till they turn 18, you have just over 566 million seconds. It's nice to describe it in seconds because it sounds like you got a lot, right? Okay. But a few years ago, I saw the time we have our kids illustrated like this. It was a jar of marbles. And today, I'm using a jar of rocks rather than marbles. Because, can I just say, marbles are really expensive in Australia. So we have rocks. And the rocks represent how many weeks you have from the time your child is born to the time they're grown. And young Zoe, who works in the office, painstakingly counted out 1,000 rocks here for me. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. But from the time they're born till they're 18, you've got about 1,000 rocks. So if every week you take one of those rocks out and throw it away, that helps you visually see how much time you have left. That's not too bad, just a couple of rocks, right? And the way it works is you start out with an infant, and the goal is keeping them alive, right? You've got dirty nappies, and they're learning to eat, and then while they're in that stage, you got a lot of weeks there. A few more weeks as an infant, right? And then they move to the terrible twos. Oh, isn't that fun? And the goal there, while it was as an infant, the goal was keeping them alive. In the terrible twos, the goal is not killing them, right? There we go. A few more rocks. Then they go off to preschool. How many started preschool, had a kid start preschool this year for the first time? And I see a few hands back there. That's exciting, isn't it? You get a few hours in the day all by yourself now. Isn't that great? Yeah, so they go to preschool. And then they go first day of kinder. And then to primary school. Then they get to be about 9 years old. About half your time is gone. About half your time by the time they're nine. You started with a full jar of rocks. Then, by the time they're 16, you're down to about 100 rocks left. Is that discouraging to any parent that has a 16-year-old? or close. You know, visually watching that, and I really think every parent should get this. Maybe we should do that when they do baby dedications. We should give them a jar of rocks. When we visually see that, it does a couple of things. You get serious about the time you have now. But also, let me encourage you with, it doesn't all happen at once. It happens one week at a time. If you mess up a week, guess what? There's still some more rocks right now, especially early on. So you don't have to make them that perfect kid overnight. Seeing how much time is left makes us intentional about what we put into that time. It helps us be intentional about what we put in the kid's suitcase that they got when they came home from the hospital, right? All right, so I want to share with you a few things that we need to be putting in their suitcases if we're going to provide that direction that Solomon talked about. When we direct them on the right path, they won't quickly leave that when they grow older. So when we're packing our kid's suitcase, we need to start with love. That is the foundational bit that every person on the planet needs. We need to be putting love into their bags that they're going to take with them when they leave us. So what does that look like? Well, let me encourage you to love them the same way God loved us, okay? Because love is complicated, and relationships are complicated, and our kids' relationships with us, it's complicated. But love them the way God loved us. First of all, he started by loving us before we loved him, right? John tells us that he loved us before we loved him. He also loves us when we mess up, when we make mistakes. Has anybody experienced that? Yeah, some people got double hands up, right? He loves us even when we make mistakes, even when we mess up. When your kids mess up, they need you to still love them. And I know you do, but they need to know that you do, okay? When they mess up. God loves us even when we try to run away from him. You remember Jonah? In the Old Testament, tried to run away from God. God loved him still and showed mercy on him still in grace and loved him back to himself. You remember the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament where the son took all of his inheritance before his dad died, ran away, squandered it, and the dad received him back when he came. He loved him back to himself. There are times your kids are going to run away and reject you as parents. When you're walking through the mall and they're 13 and 14 years old, No, I'm not with you. I'm 500 meters away from you at best. I don't have parents. When they reject you, when they want to walk away from you, keep loving them back to you. God keeps showing up and keeps loving. Love means showing up. Sometimes all you need to do is show up in your kid's life. Just be present. Keep showing them that you love them when they mess up. Love them when they don't want to be loved. Love them over time. There'll be days that you don't feel like loving them. There'll be days that they don't want you to love them, but love them over time. Sadly, some kids never really experience love. Some parents, for whatever reason, are so broken themselves that they can't express love in a healthy way. Maybe they didn't receive it in a healthy way themselves. And that is one reason why it's so important for all of us to make sure the kids are experiencing love. You don't know if that other kid, even in our faith community, might be experiencing love at home or not. They need all of us. And even if they are, they need more. Next thing you want to put in your kid's bag before they leave home are words. You want to put some words there. Words are powerful. Dozens of times throughout Scripture, God tells us how powerful our words are and how they affect people, other people around us. Experientially, you know people's words affect you. Some of you sitting here today had words spoken to you or over you as a child, and you might be in your 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s right now. And those words still have scars inside of you. You're still struggling with those things that were said. Can I encourage you today that kids need a speaking words of affirmation into their lives? That's going to mold them and shape them. Kids receive one affirming word for every 7 words of criticism. One word of affirmation for every 7 of criticism. They also remember what we don't say. I remember when I was a youth pastor back in the day, I had a kid who said, "I just want my dad to say I'm proud of you." And he was so broken because he never heard those words. Some people say, "I never remember my parent ever saying, I love you." Words are powerful. Not only are words powerful, but stories. Stories. Stories about what God does in our lives are vital for kids. Facts and statistics get our attention, but stories inspire. Theological debates can be enjoyable and show how much we think we know, but they don't inspire. Stories inspire. Hearing about people's journey and how they've journeyed with God inspire us. The Israelites shared stories. Psalm chapter 78 says this in verse 4. "We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power, about his mighty wonders. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them, and even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children." In the verses that follow in Psalm 78, it talks about God's protection, leading them through the Red Sea, his direction by a cloud of fire by night and a cloud pillar by day, and his provision of manna. And then he said, "Tell your kids about those things." And then I can imagine the Israelites saying, "Yeah, and kids, and then we would mess up again, and then it would start all over again. God would love us anyway and keep on doing those things." And they would tell stories. Homework, read Psalm 78. It talks about how God repeatedly kept doing those things, protecting, guiding, and providing for them. Why? He did all that so that each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. We need to be telling our kids stories. Stories about the past, what God did historically in the pages of Scripture, but also what God has done in our own personal lives. Kids need to be hearing that so that they're drawn to a God that protects, that guides, that provides. And if we don't point them to God in those moments when God's doing those things, if we take credit for it ourselves, then they're going to think they don't need God. Mom and Dad did a great job. All the people around me did a great job on their own. We need to point them to God. We also need to tell them about the people that have messed up and that God has been gracious. People like Moses and David and Peter, they all messed up. And you know why we need to tell them that people in the Bible mess up and why we need to tell them that we mess up? Because it's going to give them hope when they mess up. Okay? And it teaches them about who God is, about God's grace and God's mercy. Stories. We also, you're going to love this, parents. We need to put some work in their bags. Right? There we go. We need to get them working, but they need to see you working. They need to see you working not just at your job and making a living and providing and all of that, but they need to see you working and serving God in ministry, in the church, around your community. They need to see that and get an appetite for that. I love watching some of our volunteers show up and they've got kids in tow and the kids are on their iPads and doing stuff, and then their kids, as they start growing up and stuff, they start actually engaging themselves and they're learning from a very young age to work and to serve God. Then we need to add some fun to their bag, right? Kids love that one, right? If I could change one thing about what I put in my kids' bag, I'd put a little more fun in it. You know, and fun doesn't have to be expensive and it doesn't have to be extravagant. The other day, I was working on a reno project at my house, and I've got a really, really tall ladder. And my grandson was over, and this was before, he just turned 2, but it was before he was 2. And this really tall ladder, he saw the ladder. And he had seen me climbing up the ladder, and he saw his dad climbing up the ladder. And he thought, "I'm going to climb up the ladder." So for the next half an hour, he climbed up and down the ladder with us like this, right? And he had a blast. It was fun. Showing him work, but also showing him fun. Then finally, last thing we need to put in our kids' bag is community. We can't do this alone. They need community because, you know, kids listen to everyone else more than they listen to their parents. And all the parents said, amen, amen, right? Have you ever had that experience where someone else told your kids something you've been telling them for years and all of a sudden it was gold, right? I reckon kids know that. I reckon they know that. They plan that through all their life so they can do that to you, to frustrate you and drive you absolutely insane. But while kids listen to everyone else more than they listen to parents, no one can influence a child like a parent can. And that is vital for us, even as a church, for us to understand that we get a little bit of time with your kids, but nobody's going to influence them like you do. A parent, though, isn't the only influence they need. They need lots of other people speaking into their lives. And there will be lots of other people speaking into their lives. They've got peers, they got teachers, they got media, musicians, artists, sports stars, film stars, society, and politicians. Those are all great, right? Oh. Do you feel hopeless with all those influences? Lots of people, they'll even spend heaps of money to invest in your children. Do you know, you spend a lot of money too, by the way. If you got two kids, by the time you raise those kids, you're going to spend between $800,000 and $1 million raising those kids. Did you know that? Wow. And if you got more than two kids, Justin, wow. Anyway, woo! Wow, we need to pay you more, right? Actually, no, we don't. But anyway. Kids are an investment. Protect your investment in your children, okay? If that is the kind of thing that inspires you. You're not going to be able to control all of those other potential influences, but you can insulate your children by intentionally putting other adults in the lives of your kids, friends and family. Youth and kids ministry leaders, we invest a lot in that. The time you have left is short, even if you still got the 1,000 weeks. What are you going to put into it? You need to fill the suitcase with love, with words, with stories, with work, with fun, and with community. And that's not an easy task. And as a church, we understand that, and we want to help you with that. That's why we are investing in this more than ever before, to create a partnership with you as families. To tell you more about what that looks like, here's our Family Ministries Coordinator, Abby, to talk to you about that.
Hi there, I'm Abby, and I'm the Family Ministries Coordinator here at WBC. Family Ministries is an effort to synchronize our church leaders, volunteers, and parents around the goal of building faith and character in the lives of our children. We believe there are two central influences in the faith life of children, the church and the home. The church exists to shine light into the darkness, a light that highlights God's goodness and reveals God's Son, in order that the world can understand and know Him. The home, or the family, even in all of its imperfections, exists to display the heart of God to every generation. It is a human part of God's design to demonstrate who He is to the world. Something can happen in the hearts of the next generation when you combine the light of the church and the love of the family. You increase the potential to influence a child's life, and we cannot wait to partner with you in this journey. In 2022, we are introducing a new strategy throughout all of our family ministries, from toddlers through to youth. This ministry alignment will help us transition children through our ministries as they grow up, ensuring that our influence is consistent and that our vision and values are shared across the board. We believe that every child needs a really big God that they can trust no matter what. We also believe that teaching biblical truth in relevant ways is an important part of the spiritual growth of a child. This is why in each of our ministries, we are focused on the three vital relationships that we want every child to experience: their relationship with God, with others, and with themselves. We want our preschool kids to know that God made them, that God loves them, and that Jesus wants to be their friend forever. We want our primary kids to know how to make wise choices, that they can trust God no matter what, and that we should treat others the way that we want to be treated. And for our youth, we want them to know that they are created to pursue an authentic relationship with their Creator, that they are defined by who Jesus says they are, and that every day they can demonstrate God's love to a broken world. However, it's much more than what we do in our kids and youth experiences each Sunday. Did you know that we only have about 45 hours in a year with your children versus the many thousands of hours you have with them as parents? The best results come from the powerful partnership of the church and the home. To help with this partnership, we have incredible resources available. From weekly take-home notes and devotionals, social media groups, and online worship and video playlists. We also have an amazing new resource called Parent Q. Parent Q helps extend the conversation and teachings from church through to your home during the week. And with the free Parent Q app, you can find even more content like age-appropriate devotionals for Bible reading and prayer, bonus video content for kids, and the monthly Bible memory verse to encourage learning and memorizing scripture together. The app also links the Parent Q website and additional articles to help and encourage parents as they navigate spiritual milestones, challenges, and common questions on their parenting journey. We want to engage and encourage every parent to have a positive influence in the spiritual development of their children, because we believe that what happens in the home is more important than what happens in our ministries. We wholeheartedly believe that there is a big difference in just doing something for the family compared to doing something with the family. And we cannot wait to partner with you on this journey.
Wow. When I watch that, I get so excited. I wish when I was 20 years old, I'd had available to us, Deanna, what is available to you now. In fact, as our kids started getting a little bit older and everything, we started working in youth ministry because we believed that we need to be pouring into to kids and stuff. So we jumped on board early on, but this is so amazing. In fact, as I started talking to Abby when we made her position the family ministries coordinator late last year, I started sharing with her just thumbnail sketches of what my heart was about youth and kids, because that's where the conversation started, and really settled in on the families, because that's where my heart has been. And I saw that vision that was in my heart, in my mind, since before I even got here at Werribee Baptist. I saw that coming alive in Abby. And that was so, so exciting. And this has all gone fast-tracked since she caught that vision, because she's a get-it-done kind of person. And I am so excited to have her on board. And I hope that this vision will come alive in all of your hearts as well. It doesn't stop here. Our city has over 100 kids being born every week. That means we have lots of families that we have the opportunity, potential to partner with. So here's the challenge today. If you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, get involved in your kids' lives. We want you to be nosy. We want you to know what's going on in their lives. We want you to be asking us what we're doing in their lives. Singles, aunties, uncles, get involved in the kids' lives who are around you. We need more leaders in family ministry. Today, Abby told me talking to her right before the services that 7 people had to jump out this week because of COVID. She needed more people to step in. Ongoing, though, as this children's ministry, family ministry is growing, we need more people to volunteer. And don't think you don't have anything to offer. We have so many different ways you can get involved, whether you're a teacher kind of person, or whether you're a techie kind of person, or whether you're somebody who can just love on a kid or love on a family. Some of you in the older generation, you need to be helping these parents. You need to be mentoring them, coming alongside them. I could talk for hours. You don't want me to talk for hours, do you? One more thing, then I'll finish. The things that our kids need, we all need. So if you checked out a long time ago, because we're talking about families today, every person in this room needs love. They need words of encouragement and affirmation. They need stories. They need work. They need fun. And they need community. So while this applies to our family's ministry, it applies to our whole church. If you see people that you think could use some of that, they're sitting right beside you. We all could. Invest in that. Multiply hope. And let's start with our families. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity today that we've had. And Lord, I pray that you would take this vision of seeing our families multiplying hope, and that you would take that and you would help us to sow into it, help us to water it, help us to fertilize it, help us to make it a reality. Lord, we pray that you would be growing our families, grow our faith, grow our church as we endeavor to minister with families, not just to families. In Jesus' name, amen.